everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Talk That Talk with Nisha and Bree. This is episode 6, and I am Brittany Breon with Nisha Lachey.
Hey!
So, we're just going to jump right in. Like, the episode today, again, is episode 6, and today we're just going to talk about motherhood, okay?
Motherhood! Yes, and I think because we're talking about motherhood, the very first thing that comes to mind for me is going to be pregnancy. You know, like, when you first find out when you're pregnant and how your pregnancy is going and how a lot of women, you know, we always talk about the good things about pregnancy, but we don't get on here and talk about how we're throwing up. For me, I was throwing up all through my pregnancy. So, like, for you, Brittany, when you first found out you were pregnant with your first child, like, do you remember feeling excited or how are you feeling?
Okay. Whew. So I was 19, guys. So I was young. I was a baby. I was a college student. I was, you know, like, I was 18. I had him at 19. So when I was 18, I was living on the dorms and, you know, I had just got me a car and, you know, I was living my best life. So me and my child's father, we planned to have my son, right?
Okay,
believe it or not,
okay.
What are we doing at 18 planning a child, right? But in my mind, I was like, it ain't gonna happen. Like, you know, like you planning it, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yes, yes.
So how I actually found out was the day I had went to the doctor and I was gonna get on birth control, but I wasn't gonna tell the dude. I was just like, you know,
we playing too much.
So I had dropped my pills or the prescription off to get my pills, or I was waiting for the prescription or something about waiting for the pills. And the doctor office called me and they was like, did you get your pills yet? And I said, oh, no, not yet. I'm finna go up there and get them in a, you know, in a second. Okay, well, don't take them because the line, it's another line. They was nervous because when I left, they told me I wasn't pregnant. So she was like, the line, it's another line that came up. I said, what you mean another line that came up?
What kind of line?
Okay. And she was like, you're pregnant. Okay.
Wow.
I hung up on her. Okay. And I was at my cousin Linda's house. So when I found out, I just threw my cell phone. I started crying. And I was just hysterical. I don't know why I was hysterical because, like I said, y'all, me and him planned
it,
baby.
Yeah, I planned it. But you know what's funny? It's funny because I also, you know, we got pregnant like 3 weeks apart.
Right.
And the thing was, we were like, it wasn't that we were trying to get pregnant, but we weren't necessarily trying not to. Like, we weren't taking any steps not to get pregnant. But for some reason, I was still surprised. And I remember saying, like, honestly, the words I said when I saw the test, and we was looking together, I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, are you serious? Like, how did this happen to me?
Right.
Like I said, in my mind, it was like, you know you can get pregnant, but you still feel like, I'm not gonna get pregnant.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And so, that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Like, what the
for
hell?
Me, yes. And then for my pregnancy, like, it was terrible. I was throwing up all the time. I couldn't eat anything. Anything at all. Like, I did not enjoy being pregnant. I don't know. I didn't enjoy it. And then when it came to the delivery, like, people were scaring the hell out of me, telling me all these stories, like, you know, it's gonna hurt real bad, but then when you see your baby, it's gonna be fine. Like, that's not good advice.
Like, what?
Like, y'all scaring me.
Was it, like, terrible for all three pregnancies, or was it just, and Nisha has three children.
I have three. Yes,
so was it like that for all three of them, or was it just the first one?
For me, the first one and the third one, the pregnancies were harder only because I had a lot of morning sickness. So I was nauseous all the time.
Oh, okay.
For the second one, I wasn't nauseous. But what was weird was my third labor was the hardest.
Yes,
because for my first baby, you know, I pushed him out like within 10 minutes. Like, it was easy. It was nothing. That third one, I don't know if it's because, you know, we getting close to the 30. I was tired.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I was really, really struggling. Like, they was like, they was like, push, push. I was like, look, I ain't got no more. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I done ran out of steam. I don't got this kind of stamina no more. Like, my labor was the hardest for the third one.
Oh, wow. See, for me, my first pregnancy, it was like, it was too good to be true. Okay. I only threw up maybe 3 times. Oh. And it was really just from food that I guess I just wasn't used to.
Okay.
And I didn't really gain weight for real. It was just in my stomach. Good. And, you know, it was a good pregnancy. And, it was
good.
the delivery was good. Like, I was drugged up. I ain't feel not a thing. So it was just like, you know, it was good. Everything about the pregnancy, the delivery, I was blessed. Okay.
Okay. And
my second, my daughter. Okay. So we gonna get real. We gonna get real here. So with my daughter, my pregnancy, and a lot of people don't know this, like some of my family probably don't even know this, but my pregnancy with my daughter was high risk.
Okay.
And when I was 3 months, now you know, maybe you all don't know, but once you hit the third month, that's when you're in the clear. You know, that's when it's kind of like, okay, you good. You know, you got your chances of having a healthy baby is skyrocketing. Like, you're good.
Right.
So when I hit my third month, I started to spot. Right.
Okay.
So I'm like, what's up? What is this? So I go to the doctor and he was like, well, that's normal. You know, it's normal at the third month and, you know, we still hear a heartbeat. So you're good. Oh, okay. So why am I still spotting in my fourth month? Why am I still spotting at my fifth month? Why am I still spotting in sixth and seventh months? Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was diagnosed with a threatening miscarriage, right?
Okay.
So basically what that meant was it was a 50% chance that I was going to lose my daughter. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to get emotional, y'all, but Lord.
That's tough.
That was hard. That was very hard. Yeah. So basically by me being diagnosed with that, I've had to wear this might be TMI, but I had to wear a pad throughout my pregnancy because it wasn't like a spot. It was like I was bleeding and it was like my appointments. I had to do like weekly appointments and it was like I was scared because it was like with me and the dad, I was like, okay, are we gonna hear a heartbeat? You know, like it was like every appointment, it was like me holding my breath of, okay, is this gonna be when he say there's no heartbeat, you know?
Right.
And I just remember this one particular time when I was in my fifth month where I started to experience like severe cramping. Okay. And y'all, when I tell y'all, that was the scariest thing I have experienced in my life. Okay. And I know I'm not trying to be insensitive to anyone who has experienced a miscarriage, but I always assume you know, it's not like you really, it was a baby. You know what I mean? Like, I just assume you know, you're just bleeding it out. But when I went through what I went through, I was like, this is your baby. You love this.
Yeah.
Child.
Like, yes. Yes.
I remember days and, you know, nights praying to God, like, hey, if we got to make a choice, please let my baby survive. Please. Like, you could take me, but just let my baby live. So,
that was a
very tough time for me. Also, with my morning sickness, I didn't have it with my first pregnancy, but I had it with my second one, and I had it in my second trimester, which is like, I guess that is common when I was doing the research on it, but shit. Like, nobody told me what morning sickness was. Okay.
Yeah.
I felt like my lungs, my inside, everything was coming up. Like, what the fuck is this? Okay. Woo. Sorry, y'all. But
because I couldn't with mine, like, I literally could not eat anything for like the first, pregnancy and my third pregnancy, for probably like the first 4 months. Every time I would eat, I would throw up. every time. God. Like, I could not keep nothing down. It was to the point where I didn't want to eat, but then I had to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So, like, it was tough. And then also with my first and my third pregnancy, I had preeclampsia. And Yeah, so my blood pressure, I actually got induced with both of my first and my third pregnancy. But my blood pressure was constantly up. And the crazy thing is, after I had my third baby, my blood pressure never went down. So now, even now, I have to take blood pressure medication. Like,
wow.
Pregnancy really, you know, it changes you. You know, it really, really does.
Yeah.
And then even in that, when we're talking about, you know, changing us, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That changes our body a lot. But then also, and women ain't gonna like this because, you know, most of y'all is team breastfeeding. I did not like breastfeeding. I didn't. I couldn't. You know what? Like, I did try. For the first one, I'm not gonna lie. I waited till I got home and I tried it. The baby was already on a bottle for like a week. So I think he was like, what the hell is this?
Right.
He didn't want to try it. Now, I did not try it all with my second child. For my third one, I did breastfeed her for like her first 2 days of her life.
Just the first two, okay? She got two days.
She did.
That's it.
The nurse was pressuring me. She came in the room. She was like, you know, it's so important that we breastfeed. It's this liquid gold. Your baby needs it. She needs it. Like, let's just try it. So she was pressuring me. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. But honestly, it wasn't for me. Like, I didn't enjoy doing it. My breast was huge. They was heavy. They was hurting. Bria, my daughter, she was like biting on my breast. Oh, this is how I felt, you know?
So yeah.
Breastfeeding wasn't for me. What about you?
So for me, I wanted to breastfeed. Like, I was all for it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really have big breasts, okay? So when that milk hit, I was like, yes!
Yes, breast.
Big titties! So I was here for it. However, my children wasn't, okay? My first child did not latch on, and my second child did not latch on. So what I did with my first one, I had started him off with, like, trying to force it, I guess, because, like you said, the nurses do pressure you. And that's something, like, me being a 19-year-old young girl, when she was pressuring me, I kind of was like, okay. But when they tried that shit, when I was having my second child, I went for it. But anywho, I was trying to breastfeed them with, like, you know, them latching on, but they wouldn't. So what I ended up doing with my first child, like I said, I felt pressured. So it was like I kind of was forcing it, even though I knew my baby wasn't latching on. So when he went to his first checkup, he lost weight. And when I saw that he was losing weight, I said, fuck all that. So I ended up getting him on the formula. But what I did was I did get a pump. So I was able to, like, you know, get the milk out. And he still was getting breast milk. But because he wasn't latching on, I think my milk kind of dried up faster than than what it probably would have if he did actually latch on. With my daughter, what I told them I wanted to do was I wanted to do bottle and breastfeeding. And I remember the nurse was like, no, you got to choose one. I said, no, I'm going to do both. You know, and they didn't like me too much after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't tell me how to, you know, navigate or how to feed my child. I know that in the middle of the night, I'm not going to want to wake up and try to, you know, pump my breast and all that. No. Like, I need her to know about the bottle and the breast milk and all that stuff.
Right.
But breastfeeding, I liked it. Well, I guess it's pumping breastfeeding. Because, I mean,
your baby's still getting the breast milk, you know, if you pumping. Because, you know what? There's a lot of breastfeeding advocates. I'm going to just be honest with you, like, I felt uncomfortable to tell people, especially these breastfeeding mamas, that I didn't want to do it. And you know what? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think that because men suck on our breasts, it made me feel like I didn't feel like this was a way to feed my child. And I know I should have. And I think that was mainly with my first child, like, you know, my mind... Maybe if I would have been educated on it before I became pregnant and had this baby. But at that time, it wasn't something that felt natural for me. And like okay. I said, a lot of women are going to be like, what the hell you mean? It's natural. You, that's how you talk. And y'all are absolutely right. But for me,
right,
I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable. It wasn't like, you know, they'd be like, you look down at your baby sucking on your breast, you going to feel. No, I didn't feel shit. Like, I didn't feel like that. I felt like.
I didn't feel anything.
I didn't. And then with my daughter. My third baby, I did pump. You know, I did pump.
Yeah, okay.
For those 2 days, you know? And like I said, she got that liquid gold they was talking about. Mm-hmm. But even still, after those 2 days, I was like, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
So the main thing that I gathered from that is, don't knock how I feed my child. Just know that they well fed.
Yeah, come on.
You know
for
what
real.
I'm saying? Yeah. Don't worry about that. My kids are well fed. They're healthy. They're smart. And you want to say that breastfed kids are smarter? Well, possibly, but my kids are doing well. So
come on. All right. All right. And look, would you, did you like take Lamaze classes or any of them? No.
Girl, no.
Oh,
look,
okay.
I had hood training. Like, I literally, because again, we was 18, we was pregnant, and my cousin, she was like, come over to the house, I'm gonna show you how to change a pamper. Like, that's what we was doing. We had hood training. My mom was like, okay, make sure y'all know how to do this, y'all know how to do that. And that's, you know, a lot of what we kind of learned as we
went, you know.
And then plus, you know, with both of, well, actually all three of my kids, I stayed home with them.
Okay.
For the first year, so I was able to be a stay-at-home mom for a year with each kid. Were you working or did you stay home with your kids?
With the first one, I was able to stay home. Shout out to his daddy, Al. But I was able to stay home and, you know, I didn't like it. And I know people probably like, what you mean you didn't like it? I did not like it, because I felt like I couldn't clock out. I couldn't get a 15-minute break.
Yeah, that's
and
real.
It, and it could have been maybe because I was a first-time mom and, you know, I didn't want to leave him by himself. Anything can happen. You know, just so I can jump in the shower, just so I can fix me something to eat. Like, I literally would just sit and look at this baby all day till his daddy get home. That's when I'm like, okay, let me start moving around.
Okay.
But, you know, it just wasn't for me. I do appreciate the time that I did get that one-on-one time with my son and, you know, him like hitting his milestones and me being able to see all of that.
Right.
But to actually just, I commend you women that stay at home. Like, for real, I feel like staying at home is way harder than being a working mom. What you think about
that? Okay. See, for me, like, honestly, I was watching all the daytime shows.
Okay.
Like, I would put my baby down. I was watching Judge Mathis, Let's Make a Deal. Like, I was cool with being at home. I was cooking. I was like them little 1970s housewife, you know, making breakfast, sitting around with snacks. Like, I was doing all of that. But then, for me, first of all, I enjoyed being at home with my kids for that first year. The things that I saw, like watching my kids take their first walk, all of that was so precious. But the reason I wanted to go back to work is because I just wanted to have something for myself.
Yeah.
So, like, even though I was staying home, I was still going to school. And then when the kids got a little older, I wanted to go back to work because, first of all, I like having a social life.
Yes.
And when you are just at home, you ain't really getting that social life like
at
that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then the other thing was, I thought to myself, like, okay, well, Tanisha, when you get, like, 50, your kids are grown. What are you going to have if you just stay at home? And I'm not knocking nobody that does
that.
You know, that's their prerogative. But for me, I wanted something for myself. I wanted a career. You know what I'm saying? So, I didn't mind staying at home, but I just wanted more ultimately for myself.
Right, right.
And then I know you asked if it's harder being a working mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that there's, you know, struggles with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't breastfeed, but I could only imagine the women that work and have to breastfeed, you know, because like they have those little rooms where you can breastfeed on your lunch break and stuff like that. That seemed like that could be hard. Of course, it's hard leaving your kids with people, especially if it's daycare.
Yeah.
Now, I've been able to leave my kids with family, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
But it is still hard leaving your kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just hoping they're okay. And for me, I worry about my kids all the time.
Yeah.
Like, is they okay? Is everything going to be okay?
Right.
I'm always worrying about them. So that's the hardest thing for me being away, being at work. And then of course I just feel like if something going on with my kids or they need me, I love my job, but my kids gonna come first.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's absolutely.
I guess that's the job problem.
Yeah. And then for me, I guess when I had went back to work with my with my first child, once I started working again, I just remember, like, he would be crying because, like, you know, when you stay at home with them, they attach to you. So
yeah, that's true.
When I went back to work, he would just cry his eyes out. And I was like, I'm coming back. I would literally sit in my car and cry, like, bawling. Yeah. Like,
it's hard.
Like,
it like, is hard. Yeah. It is hard to leave your kids.
Yeah. But like you say, you know, as far as like the, I guess, working, having your own. And, you know, I like the fact that my kids will see that, okay, my mama, she's out here getting it. You know what I
mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not to say nothing bad about a stay-at-home mom, because like I feel like, yeah, I got the hardest. That's hard as fuck. Like, that is hard. Okay? Yeah, you don't get a break. At least I do get a 15-minute where I can just
get you a 30-minute lunch,
you know,
right.
Just calm down. But,
yeah,
you know, so yeah. I just feel like for me, working, being a working mom, I think that works better for me and my children. I want them to see me working. I want them to see an independent woman, you know?
Right,
and
right.
And I hope that's not coming off as bad with the stay-at-home moms, right? Because, I mean, that's just for me. You know,
but that's what I was gonna say. I just think it comes down to what works better for you. Because like I said, but some of the stay-at-home moms, they may feel like, well, how the hell y'all leave y'all kids and go to work?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I just think it's whatever works for you. But you know something else that's hard when you have kids, and this is probably for those that are in a relationship, but people that are single too, but sex is hard. Like, first of all, these damn kids be cock blocking. Like, for real. Like, my daughter, literally, if I try to get close to Ron, like, she'd be, like, jumping in the middle, trying to rub his arm, moving my hand. Like, so, to me, it's difficult to find time for your significant other when you are a mom. And like I said, even if you're single, it's probably difficult too, because you gotta trust somebody to watch your kids so that you can have a date if you want to.
Right.
Or if you want somebody to come over and spend time with you, you gotta try to find somewhere for the kids to go. That's hard too.
Yeah. But I guess, like, as far as I guess I'll go to when I was in my relationships.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really hard. I guess we were just creative.
Like,
we were very creative.
Like, okay, because let me know.
Yeah. So, like, I know with my son, you know, when he would go to sleep, we'll put him in his little crib or whatever. And, you know, we just utilize other rooms in our home, okay?
Yeah.
With my daughter's dad, you know, like,
I mean, you know what we do?
We get creative.
Like,
that's
sleep,
all.
You can leave the room and go to other areas. But the thing with that is, like, when you are a working mom too, you tired.
You
so
do be
like,
tired.
I gotta stay up until 1 a.m. so she can go to sleep. Or I'm like, okay, wake me up when she go to sleep. And then by the time you wake me up at 3 a.m, nigga, I'm tired. Like,
that is true.
I don't want to wake up. So then for me, it's difficult just because you have to find time.
Yeah.
Like, and then my middle child, my son, he likes to pop up in the room like, what y'all doing? Like, you know, he literally just be popping up out of nowhere. Hi, mama. Hi, daddy. Like, I'm telling you, so, like, literally, they can look cock blockers. So, that is hard, too.
But I guess, you know, then that comes down to the support system. So, it's like, you know, I guess, like, making sure, you know, you're having the time for yourself and the date nights and stuff. But you gotta have a strong support system to that, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So, and I think you really, when it comes to support system, you have to have that whether you're in a relationship or if you're single. You know,
absolutely.
You're a single mom. You have to have somebody other than just a parent that you can call on for help, because we do, all of us, I think, moms need time away.
Yeah.
We
absolutely
do. We need time away. We need to be able to, and whether you want to take a vacation or you just want to go out to eat by yourself or go get your nails done, But you definitely have to have time for yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, that's going to come off on them kids.
Yeah. You're not going to be the best mom you can be. You're not going to be the best person you can be, the best wife, the best friend. You're not, right. If you're not taking that time for yourself. And I understand that it is some people who may not have any support system. Maybe just the only time, you know, that they don't have their children is if they're at work and a child is at school or daycare.
Yeah.
And for those women, you know, if you can, just use that me time when you're taking a bath. Maybe take an hour-long bath, you know?
Right.
Like, maybe just, you know, just when you're cooking, like, kind of listening to music as you're doing it. Like, just have some type of time for yourself where you're just clearing your mind. Maybe do yoga while the kids are asleep. You know, it's other ways to get around
and
it. Exercise or something. Oh, or sex, you know.
I'm joking, but the reason I say that is just also making sure that you have healthy relationships outside of your kids. I'm joking, but I'm not joking when I say that. But yeah, just making sure you have healthy relationships, whether with a partner or with your friends. Like, go out with your friends. Because we neglect our friends as we get older, and a lot of it's just because we're all living our own lives, we're all busy.
Yeah.
But you do need that time to go out and just be you. Not being a mom, not being nobody's girlfriend, but just being you, having fun, you know, just enjoying yourself, letting your hair down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You definitely have to do that. But then also, outside of making time for yourself, make sure you are making time for your kids.
Look, don't make too much time for yourself.
Right. They say, you know, you ain't seen them kids in 2 months. Like,
What's defined as?
Well, they always call men deadbeat dads when they're not around or they're not seeing their kids. So it's going to be deadbeat mamas too.
So basically, let's break this all the way down. Okay. So the deadbeat mama is that mama who's basically like, fuck them kids. Okay. I'm finna go run to this dick. Okay. That's who we're talking about here. Okay. So Okay, I'm gonna get my thoughts together on this. Now, I know how I am as a mother. I know other mothers who had their children even younger than me, okay? Mm-hmm. And even though they had their children, you know, children at a young age, they still never, you know, lost custody of them. They've always had their kids together. Like, I guess it's just confusing when I see women who don't do what they supposed to do for their children. And I actually thought the shit was unreal. Like, until I experience life and start seeing other women, I'm just like, oh, hell no. Because I didn't see that growing up. Every woman that was a mother around me was an actual mother.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess it just kind of makes you think, why? Like, why would a woman not do for her child? Like, what would cause that? You know,
I think there's a couple of reasons. The first that I can think is their focus, because if they're focused on a man, then they can't be focused on their children. Now, don't get me wrong, you can have a focus on both.
Yeah.
But you still have to put, if this is not your husband or if it's not somebody you're sharing a lifetime with, your kids have to come first. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your kids have to come first. They have to be your first focus. And if he don't understand that, that's an issue.
Yeah.
But also, drugs is a big thing in our community. Like, honestly, I have, and you know this person, somebody we went to school with that I was very close with. Like, I mean, we spent a lot of time together, and it hurt me to see that she is, like, doing bad on drugs. I would never think that she would be strung out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she has, like, 3 or 4 kids, and other people are raising her children. And to me, it's, like, so surprising, because she wasn't that type of person. We always say that, like, they're not that type of person.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of person it is, but I feel like once you get strung out on drugs or you get addicted to something, your mind's not right. Because I feel like if her mind was right, she would do for her kids. She would want to do that for her kids, you know?
And then, I definitely agree on that. Yeah. It's a mental thing.
Yes, it has to be. So I definitely think that's a sickness, because I knew this person very well. Mm-hmm. And she was not the type of person that would just not be there for her kids, not care what her kids are doing.
Yeah.
She wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. that was very surprising to me. And the third thing that I can think as to why they wouldn't want to spend time with their kids or be in their kids' life mm-hmm. is just the mentality.
Yeah.
Because yeah. some of them, you know, maybe they had their kids young and they feel like, mm-hmm. well, I want to live my life. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So yeah.
yeah,
just the mentality, you know, whatever their mentality is, maybe they're, and it's not even about being childish, because some of these women is grown, and their kids are grown, and they
yeah.
never spent the time that they should have spent with those kids.
And they paying for it now, you know.
Yeah, that's
you
real
know, kids don't want nothing to do with them. I'm going to go even deeper. I believe that another reason a woman would neglect her children, maybe she has some deep-rooted issues. You know,
yeah,
I always, how can I say this? As I went through life and healed mm-hmm. based off of situations I've been through with men that I've been in relationships with, and they may have hurt me, and maybe the women that they were dealing with, you know, mm-hmm. may not have been the women that I would think, like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck? Maybe, you know, so I say this to say that. I believe that a lot of times you don't know what these women have been through. Okay?
That's real.
These
yeah.
bitches... Oh, I shouldn't say bitches. Okay, let me stop. Let me take
moms.
It back.
These
must, quote unquote, okay? Mm,
yeah.
These neglectful moms. That's what
can
called.
We didn't come up with a name. Like how they call men sperm donors. They need a uh-huh. name. But okay, we'll come back. All right.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But these neglectful mothers, okay?
Yeah.
We don't know what they've been through. You know, maybe it's
That's
a
true.
Situation where they mamas then sold them. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
they out here, you know, having sex as kids. And it happens.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, these women are being damaged or already damaged. And these damaged women that are fucked up. Having kids, you know? And
yeah.
I remember, like, my mom used to always tell me when I used to vent to her about, like, what the fuck is these women? And she'll tell me, she'll be like, you know what? It's a blessing that their moms are stepping up and taking
yeah.
care of their kids. Because
yeah.
who knows what would happen?
And that, yeah.
get some real shit. And
yeah.
when, you know, when you look at it like that, it does allow you to have some compassion for these women. Because it's like, okay... Thank God they do have a support system or have somebody that give a fuck about those children that will take your kid, well, will take their kids in, because who knows? You know,
mm-hmm.
if these girls are not really thinking about their kids and they just thinking about some men, then shit, the kids probably getting touched or, you know,
yeah.
you know, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, to wrap that up with the deadbeat moms, it's not too late, lady. If you know, the fuck, you know, you ain't shit as a mom right now, or that you could be better as a mom. Do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Do that. That is,
yeah.
look, if you chasing this nigga because you trying to make sure he don't cheat, he gonna cheat anyway. So go ahead and just fuck with your kids, because they gonna be
right.
Better.
Right.
For
and
sure.
I was going to say, too, because what you were saying as far as somebody taking it in, when I was referring to the girl earlier, you know, that we knew from school
mm-hmm.
that's on drugs, what I do respect is she has her kids in a home where they're taken care of, where they're
that's
being
good.
Fed, where they're being bathed.
That's
so I
good.
Do, I definitely respect if you're not able, let's say you're not able to take care of your kids, you know your mind not right, you know you can't get them the love they need, at least make sure that they are in a stable environment to the best of your ability. You know what
right.
I'm saying? If
you
right. know that you're not right, don't leave them kids at home hungry by themselves. That kind of thing. Like, make sure that they are in a stable environment at the very least. Because like you said, Britt, it's not too late to be a better mother. And then a lot of us, even me now, like,
mm-hmm.
I like to think I'm a good mom, but I'm definitely not perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
yep.
there was a time where, you know, I felt like I was mean to my kids. And
mm-hmm.
actually, at the time, I only had two boys, you know, but for
mm-hmm.
the oldest one, I felt like I was mean. I was always yelling, and
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like I was angry, but it's like I just expected more, and I had to remember, like, this is a child.
Yeah.
And everything that you're doing to him, you're saying to him, the way that you're acting, he's going to remember that. Not only that, that's how he's going to treat his relationships when he
yeah.
grows up. You know,
yeah.
his kids, his wife, or what have
right.
you. So I had to take a step back and try to become a better mother, a more... you know, calm mother, a peaceful mm-hmm. mother, somebody that he can understand, because yelling at him, he didn't understand. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
So I definitely feel like there's still things that we're working on. So even these deadbeat or negligent moms that we're talking about, they still have an opportunity to do better, but don't wait until it's too late, because
yes.
kids don't forget. You know what I'm saying?
At all.
They gonna remember. They gonna remember how you treated them when they was
yeah.
growing up, but at the same time, when they become adults, when they don't respect you,
come on.
That's why.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, I feel like as far as do's and don'ts, I really feel like there isn't any do's or don'ts, because I feel like you just said, you know, everybody is working on being better, you know? So,
yeah.
of course, that's being a better mom as well. I know for certain that I've made a lot of mistakes as a mom, okay?
Yeah.
And that's mainly because I had my baby so early. So it's kind of like I was figuring it out and learning as I was going, okay?
Right.
But
yeah.
one thing for sure as well is that my son loves me, my daughter loves me, and I mm-hmm. love them, okay?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, yeah, I may have made a lot of mistakes because I was learning. But, and when I say mistakes, I mean it maybe just, like how you express with maybe yelling too much, right?
Right.
I feel mm-hmm. like with me, I kind of maybe, you know, maybe put a little too much on my oldest as well. And I
yeah.
guess, like you say, you just be forgetting, like, okay, wait a minute, he's a kid. He may not,
right.
you know.
Right, he don't know.
He doesn't
you
know.
It's my job to teach him. Like,
yeah.
okay, like he's supposed to know. Yeah.
yeah, you know, so, you know, but like I said, we all can do better as moms. It's just, you know, you have to just work at it, I feel
yeah.
like, you know? So,
yeah.
you know, I guess agree. That's my thoughts on that.
I agree. Mine too, Brittany. I mean, I agree with you 100% that there is no do's and don'ts. If anything, you know, I would really like to end this on a positive note. And just
yeah.
ask, what would be your best memory as a mom?
Okay, my best memory. Let's see.
Or something that you enjoy the most. Because I think we did talk about that with some of our Facebook followers.
Oh,
we
did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. What do I enjoy the most? Honestly, it's so simple. When it's Friday night and I'm off of work and me and my kids are just sitting in the living room watching Netflix and chilling, okay? That is
yeah.
when I feel the most at peace. That's when
yeah.
I feel the most happiest. And that's when I feel the most just fulfilled as being a mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Like, just so simple. That's the simplest thing.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, that's what I enjoy the most. What about you?
Yeah, mine would be the same thing. And one thing I really enjoy with my kids whenever I'm driving, because they like music just like me, and I got a song on, and I look back, and they all singing and playing. And the reason I like that, not just because we having this sing-along and we on Snapchat, but I like that because my kids don't have to worry. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
you can look at them and tell. They don't have to worry about where my next meal coming from
yes.
or
and
when is
blessing.
My mama coming home. You know what
yes.
I'm saying? Like, when you look at my kids, they are so
mm-hmm.
happy.
Yes.
They're carefree. All they
yes.
have to do is go to school. Now, if they mess up at school, then they got a problem. Then they
don't
worry. But other than that, they are
yeah.
just able to be kids. And I love that.
Yeah. And you know how it's so many people that put so much on their kids. And you see
yeah.
these kids. Like, my oldest child is 10, right?
Uh-huh.
So, my oldest child, he's all into his phone and his video games
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, just a 10-year-old. But
yeah.
it is other 10-year-olds at his school where you can look at those kids and you can tell they are going through life
yeah.
at 10.
Yeah, and they look like they've been drinking.
Yeah. They've been going through life, okay?
I'm joking, but
they
yeah.
have been going through life. So,
yeah.
it's just... you know, it's a blessing to be able to provide that,
right?
That's mm-hmm. for your children. I right. definitely agree.
Yeah. So that does, it makes me really happy. So overall, you know, we talked about motherhood this episode, and I think this is probably one of the most serious episodes, but just because being a mom is serious, because we are raising the next generation.
Come on.
And everything that you do in front of these kids, everything that you do to these kids, they gonna take into their lives and as adults. And you might not think that little things, you know, they be tripping off or they be remembering, but they will. And everything we do as moms will affect them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have one more question.
Yeah.
So what is something that that your mom taught you that you would teach to your children?
So, my mom actually taught me a lot of things. But the one thing that she's taught me from her being a mother to me that I would like my kids is to be myself and to be strong and stand in that. And what I mean by that is, like, me and her have real, even when I was younger, you knew my mama, we would have real conversations. Like, we would talk about any and everything. Even when it came to, like, my first cooler, mom was like, I'm gonna get that for you. You know, because she wanted me to know. She wanted me to experience the real world even before I got into the real world. So I was ready for that. And so I just learned to be very strong and to be able to handle. Because, you know, in life, you're going to get so many different obstacles and struggles. Yeah. But even before I was on my own, I knew how to handle certain things. So, like, I didn't have to deal with, like, depression, or I didn't feel like I was breaking down every time something went wrong. Because when I was, like, when we first had my son, there were times when we was broke. Like, we had beans and hot dogs. We was covered because we could eat, but we was broke. But I never was, like, broken. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because I knew real life before I got on my own. So I would want my kids, when they leave my house, to know about real life and to know how to maintain. You know what I'm saying? And how to be strong in situations where other people would have been folded.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, not folding. For me... the biggest thing that Carrie, has taught me
is to
be independent, okay?
That's right.
That's the biggest thing. And that is something that I teach my kids now.
Yeah.
My son is very independent. My daughter is very independent. Like, I can't stress that enough. Your independence is everything. You it's just something about being able to stand on your own too. And ain't got to depend on nobody for nothing. My mom always told me, like, you need to make sure you have your own, you have your stuff together. You got your own. So I really feel like that is something that I've installed in my kids. And it used to be kind of like, oh, especially my daughter, I don't want her to have to depend on no nigga for nothing. But how these men and these generation is, best believe my son, Rodney, his name is Rodney, he's getting it too, okay?
Yeah.
You know, my son will not be one of those men that are, you know, that is waiting for a woman to make a move. You got him. Oh, no, ma'am. Not mine, okay?
Right,
he's going to be able to take care of himself. And, like, and I know a lot of y'all probably thinking, like, that's, like, yeah, common sense. You'll be surprised. No. You'll be surprised. Okay. Y'all remember on Baby Boy. Okay. Jody. Okay. Y'all remember him.
And since we're going there too, mothers that are raising men, because some of us, I won't say us, but there are single moms that are raising men, young men. Just keep in mind that those examples of men that you bring around your son, it matters. So, like, I don't care if you feeling him. I don't care if, you know, he putting it down for you, whatever it is. But just make sure you bring him around your son, that he's an example for your son.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're a woman. So, he going to look to him. He going to look to how he treats you. He going to look to how you respond to him. So just make sure, you know, that, because like I said, even, and the reason I said I'm not going to say us, because I wanted to refer that to single moms, but I will talk about women in a relationship too, because me and my husband, something that we did struggle with was we would argue in front of the kids, and we would try not to, but you know how you mad and you just mad. But then as we're getting older, we're like, that's not okay, because our sons, our kids are watching this, and this is their example. You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind saying like, okay, we made a mistake, we did this, we did that, and that's the only reason, that's the only thing I'm gonna speak on. I'll never speak on no mother, or I don't speak on single moms if I haven't been there. I feel like it's disrespectful. You know what I'm saying?
But I agree with, you know, just being mindful of who you bring around your kids, because you thinking they not paying attention, but they really are. You know, I'm grateful that with my son's dad, you know, he is a great example for my son, you know, especially as far as providing. Like, he's an awesome provider, okay?
And
because he's such a good provider, like, my son told me, like, you know, when I turn 18, mama, I'm moving out and get my own apartment. I said, what? For what? Okay, look, you ain't got it at 18. But yeah, like, he already gotten in his head that, I'm not sorry, I'm gone, girl. I'm gonna get my own shit.
Right, I'm gonna get my own. But like you just said, you teaching him to be independent. So
absolutely.
That's exactly what he's carrying. So good job, Mrs. Carey.
I guess we pretty much wrapped it up with all our motherhood topics. Let us know what y'all think about that, you know? Do y'all feel like we left something out? Do y'all want to add some more?
Definitely. And feel free to reach out to us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at Talk That Talk with Nisha and Bree. We're on Instagram, so like us on Instagram at talk_that_talk_podcast, or email us your questions, your thoughts, your concerns, whatever, your stories, to talkthattalkpc@gmail.com.
All right. Well, again, y'all, thank you guys so much for listening to us, and we will see y'all next week. Bye.